As we end the series on Philippians, one more week next week, I hope you have enjoyed and you have been touched by God's word. It is a phenomenal letter of joy. Interesting, as we end this, getting close to it, it's talking a little bit about giving and stewardship. Say, wait a minute, that's not where we usually find it from, right? Now, you have to understand what's happening here. Let me run it back a little bit so you can get an understanding of why Paul ends his letter this way. The Philippian church was a poor church. It's located in the area called Macedonia. It is, you know, during the Roman Empire, not a rich area. The people were poor, and you can find that out. When you look into other scriptures in the book of Acts and Corinthians and so forth, you'll find that they are poor people. But nevertheless, they were very generous to Paul as much as they could. And they sent him money and resources so that as he traveled, he was able to live and provided for him more than any other church. But for 10 years now, at least, they have not been able to and have not sent anything to Paul for a long time. And this particular moment, when Paul is in prison, they not only sent him resources, they even sent a person, Epaphroditus, that you read about, to help Paul. Now, during this whole scene, Paul begins to write about it, and one of the things that he said was what? He was content, right? Remember that message we had? He talked about contentment. And he says, you know what? I know what it means to have a lot, and I know what it means to have very little. I'm content either way. Now, if you're sending money to somebody or sending some resources to someone, and the guy says, you know what? I'm okay. I don't really need it. You're going to feel kind of bad, right? Oh, my goodness. Why am I sending it to you for that? Not only that, they sent him Epaphroditus, a person to help him physically in whatever way it is, and he's sending him back. You almost could think, somebody can make a conjecture that, you know what, Paul is kind of ungrateful to these poor people who's given so much to him, right? That's not the case at all. Because he's talking about a big spiritual truth, how God provides and that his joy does not come from circumstances, but they come from God. Okay, so you understand what he's doing. So at the end, he writes this particular part, and he wants to explain to the Philippian Christians what he's talking about dealing with this issue. And he begins to talk about things that are very, very important. And God used it so that we can understand this whole idea about investment, the whole idea about stewardship, the whole idea about having and not having things, giving and not giving things. And so today's message I title, Investing Through Giving. And these verses, give us four things, four thoughts that is really important. First of all, it is a good choice to give to God's ministry. He begins in verse 14, he says, yet this was good of you to share, to give to his ministry, what he's doing. Now, it's interesting what that word good is. Sometimes we say good thing. Oh, that's good. That's not good. That's good. That's, you know, we say anything about it. Goodness has come to a place where we don't even understand what it is. It's good if it works out for me. It's good that I don't get caught, you know. It's good this and that, right? We think of that. Bad things is something that personally hurts me, you know, or something that puts me down, whatever. We have a different idea what goodness is. But this word goodness, or the word here used for good, is the word kalos in Greek. It literally means it is noble of you to do this. It is a noble thing. It is a beautiful thing that you did this. It is something good. What does that mean when it comes to giving? You know, in America, we probably more than any other country, I believe, give significantly to a lot of things. And I'm not against any kind of give. You want to give away things to help people, that's awesome. You know, hope you're wise with it and so forth. But you know what? When you give to God's ministry, it is a noble thing. He talks about it and calls it that. It is something beautiful, something that makes a difference, right? So he says, it is a good choice. So I don't know how much you give to God's ministry. And it's not just talking about CBC. You can give to anything you want to. particularly God's ministry. Now, we talk about tithing. Tithing goes to your local church. That's the way it should be. But anything beyond that, you can give to anything you want to. I want to encourage you to give to God's ministries. There are so many ministries out there that are constantly struggling, that are always in need. One of the ministries that we've been involved in, and the church has been involved in, and we have a box out there, a couple boxes that you've been putting things in, and we send things out every once in a while, is to the Philippines, in a very poor place called Mindoro Occidental, a big island, actually, off the coast of Luzon and outside of Manila. I still remember that somehow, and, you know, we're just working on things, and suddenly I thought, why don't I give Chris, a friend of mine who works in that ministry, and I have not been in touch with her for over 10 years, I think. I said, why don't I give her a contact, an email, a call or something? And little did I know that at that moment in time, their ministry with children, dirt poor children, about 40, 50 of them, were getting to a place where she was so disappointed, discouraged, and even depressed that she was thinking of just closing up shop. Says, there's nothing we can do. We can't support this ministry. There's nothing she can do. She can't pay her workers. She can't buy food and on and on. And at that moment, God allowed me to just have a memory of her. And you can talk to her, and she sends thank you notes all the time as we send monthly support from our church and also from other sources to make that happen. It was a good thing. It was a noble thing. There are kids that are doing real well, families that have been blessed and given to because of a choice to give, to share in God's ministry. The second thing we find here is this, it says, it grows in the accounting ledger of God. I don't know if you ever think about that. Do you know that God has a ledger? What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul was saying, I don't need your giftedness. I'm taken care of. I'm glad to receive it, and I'll tell you why, he said, because when you do that, I am so excited because God's ledger on you is growing. He's writing more things in it. He's basically saying, I'm so excited that you are doing this. You're making a choice, even out of your poverty, you give in to a ministry. Particular one here is my ministry here, because I know what is happening in heaven. There is a ledger in heaven. And I want to tell you, that word credited to your account, the word here is literally the word profit. The word in Greek is karpon. It means profit. Is it possible that we can actually grow our investment account in heaven? Well, I want to tell you, if you look through the Word of God, yes, it is. It is not only possible, it is what you do. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, I'm building you a mansion there. He said, oh, great, I got a mansion in heaven, you know? Let me live the way I live here, do whatever I want to do here. And in heaven, I got this great mansion. Really? That mansion is dependent upon the choices that we make here. That's not to say that you lose your salvation, you go to heaven if you don't care about anything whatsoever. Not that. Salvation is by faith. It is your name being written in the book of life. That's the greatest thing that can happen to any person. But you know what? God has said that there are rewards in heaven, that he is going to reward those who are faithful to what he has given to you. If he's given you a lot, much is required. If he's given you a little, not as much. But nevertheless, you still need to do that. And it is talking about here, and Paul said, you know what? I am excited that you, Philippian Christians, are getting a gigantic ledger in heaven. It is being accounted for. The things that you've done for me, the things you've done for others are being recorded. You know, nowadays in America particularly, and I guess maybe just the last 100 years or so, such a big deal about investing, you know. Once upon a time, it wasn't like that. In most countries, and even in the United States, investing means just investing in your family, building a house maybe, you know, expanding your farm, whatever those kind of things. Now it's not like that. We invest, you know. We put things in some electronic account, and things grow, they shrink, whatever it is. You want to make the right choices, or almost like investing gambling, right? You put that thing in there, it just grows and grows. You just look at it, and your zeros get bigger and bigger and more, and you just love it. You say, oh, man, I have such a great investment. I'm no particular advice on those kind of things. I'm a pastor, I'm not an investment advisor. But I can tell you this, I hope you're putting as much time, if not a lot more, in your investment in eternity in heaven as you are doing in your 401ks, in your stock market portfolio, whatever it is. Because I want to tell you something, this is eternity. This is so much more valuable than anything you can ever get from stock options. And that's what Paul is talking to them about. I know this is what's happening because they'll be credited. That profit margin is going to be placed in your account in heaven. Do you think you got a big account in heaven? Do you think so? Can you say you have it? I know I have it because of this and that. Or he says, I hope I have something. I did a few nice things for my neighbor. Is that what it is? Wise people will hear the word of God and see that and say, you know what? I want to invest in my future. Now, the third thing he says here, he talks about the gifts that they were given to him. He didn't say, wow, that really got me through last week. No, he didn't say that. He says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. He said, they represent your worship to God. You know, sometimes we think worship, this is what we think of worship. Worship, we come to a place of worship, like a church here. Or sometimes people go to a temple. Or some people are like, oh, I can't worship like this. This is too informal. I got to go to a high church, you know. In the high churches, the pastors and priests, they come out with robes. There's all kinds of ornate things. You're sitting in pews or standing all the time. The candles everywhere. Now I feel like I'm worshiping. Sometimes that's what we think of worship is. Other religions are like that. If you're Buddhist, you know, you go to a temple. Listen, that's what you do. If you're Hindu, you go there. That's what you do. On and on. All the religions are like that. But you know what the Bible talks about as worship? Worship is an act. It's an act of a man, a woman, giving that which that who deserves the worship. It's someone that is worthy of your honor. Of all the things that you're thinking about that you want to give. It is an action verb. Worship is active. So in a lot of places in the Bible, we read about that. In Romans 12, it talks about, you know, getting your body, making your body a living sacrifice, which is an act of worship, you know? So here it is, act of worship. A worship person is a person who gives. They are fragrant offerings. That's what worship is. An offering, a fragrant, a smell, you know, acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. So when we give to a ministry, when we give to a need that God's ministers have, we are actually actively worshiping. So when we collect the offering later, when we give our tithes and offering, you got to know what you're doing. You are actually worshiping God. Now, the fourth thing I want to share with you here, verse 19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Here it is. When God says something, he always does it. You got to know this, okay? God never breaks promises. Never, never, never. And this is a response. He said, the Apostle Paul writes this, that when we do these things, when we invest in the ministries of God, when we give to people who are in need, when we invest in whatever it is that God has called us to and placed upon our hearts the burdens and emotions and passions on it, God will respond. This is guaranteed because God will respond. I am not going to tell you, I mentioned it last week or a couple of weeks ago, about how some, you know, churches are going out there, you know, if you give a dollar, you're going to give get a thousand. That's it. No, no, no. That's not what God is saying at all. But God is saying that he is going to respond to your generosity, your willingness to give, all right? He's going to respond, and he's going to meet all your needs. According to what? According to what you have to know. According to the riches of his glory. According to what he has. And I want to tell you something. God has unlimited riches. And this is very specific. Sometimes some churches say, well, he's only talking about maybe, you know, your emotional needs, your relational needs, your spiritual needs. No, no, this is in context. Every time we read scriptures, we have to look in terms of context. And this context is talking about material needs. God is going to meet your material needs according to his riches. This is the response that God has given. And so sometimes, you know, it's amazing. I've talked to people, ministered to people all these years, and some people are like, oh, man, I don't know. We just can't make ends meet. We're just struggling all the time with finances and on and on and on. And they certainly don't give any tithes and offering because we say, I can't afford it. You know, we don't know what to do. And as a pastor, we have to be very careful, right? I have to be very careful because as it is, the world out there says all pastors and churches care about your money anyway. So that's not what I'm concerned about. So I want to get there and say, okay, what are you doing to allow God's blessing to flow into your life? And it's a hard question because they're going to say, what are you saying, Pastor? You want me to give away what I already have in order to get some from God? Is that it? No, no, that's not what it's talking about at all. It is talking about how God, in his amazing generosity, in his amazing power, in his amazing riches, is going to meet our needs. He's made a promise. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. He's going to take care of you. Doesn't mean he's going to make you rich unless he wants you to be, but he's going to meet your needs. I love this verse in Proverbs 19:17. I shared it with you before. It's amazing when I first saw it. It's just an amazing verse. It says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. What? Excuse me, wait a minute. God needs someone to lend to him? You know, God needs me to lend him something? He's lacking something? No, that's not what we're saying. He's saying when we give to the poor, when we are kind to the poor, when we share the needs for the poor, this is like we're lending to God. And then it goes on and says, and he will reward him for what he has done. In other words, God is going to respond according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He's going to respond to us. It will bring a direct response from God. I want to tell you, Barbara and I, 38 years of ministry almost, we've never lacked. Never. And we share with you sometimes before some of the things, you know, church planting in the city of New York. Are you kidding? Going through all these kind of things. We never lacked. We're never rich. We never will be. We don't want to be. But we never lacked. Do you know why we never lacked? It's not because I made choices that are so brilliant in investing. I'm not an investor. It's not because I have rich families. No, we never lacked because God set this and he met our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God has kept his part of it. So today, you know, when we talk about investing, I want to share with you that. Do what you need to do. But I want to tell you, somewhere along the line, come before the Lord and say, God, how can I make a difference? You have blessed me with some things. Or even if you don't think you're blessed with much, how can I make a difference in the ministry that God will have me be a part of? How can I make a difference? And when you do that, you will discover what Paul is talking about. It's not about having my needs met, not at all. It's about making a difference by being a God, part of God's plan, and you'll be surprised what a joy it is when you do. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you so much that you have blessed us today with the presence of wonderful people and families. These police officers. I also want to thank you that you have always kept your word, that you will meet our needs. Father, we live in a country that doesn't seem to have a lot of needs in comparison. But nevertheless, Lord, you have given us privileges that we can meet other people's needs. Lord, would you open our eyes and our hearts, each and every one here. Allow us to see beyond ourselves and our own families. Allow us to see the possibilities that you will have for us. And then use us to make a difference. Thank you, Jesus' name. Pray.